Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's a book that brings warnings. It gives discernment. And at the same time, it brings you to a place where you have to make a decision. To do what's right or to do what's wrong. To be righteous or to be unrighteous. To really stand in truth, or you cannot straddle the fence, you will get hurt big time. So what Solomon does now, turn to Proverbs chapter 4 as we look at it tonight. Very, very interesting Proverbs. Continuing with wisdom. And as we come now to this fifth lesson on wisdom, the key verse in chapter 4, if you were taking notes, the key verse is verse 18. This is what it says. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. So the picture is that the sunrise is increasing of light and the pilgrim's path as the day is advancing. But he says, if we walk in the way of God's wisdom, then the path gets brighter and brighter and there is no sunset. I like that. No sunset for the real child of God. No sunset at all. That's why my hope has always been, since I came to Christ, has been Christ Jesus. No matter what happens in my life, I know that God's in control. And if He is in control of my life, and He is in control of your life, and He is in control of everyone's life, and in control of this world and eternity, how much more we need to seek the true path. The true path that is given to us through the Word of God. That can only come through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. One of the anonymous writers, he writes and he says, quote, a wise man learns of the experience of others. An ordinary man learns by his own experience. But a fool from nobody's experience becomes a greater fool. That's so true. Look at the world today that does not know Christ. Those that don't read the Bible, those that don't study God's Word, they don't really possess true wisdom and true knowledge. They don't really have a true faith, a true foundation in Jesus Christ, which He is the rock of our salvation. And He said that He would never leave us nor forsake us, but that He would be with us. The three Hebrews that were thrown into the fire, when the king threw them into the fire, his servants got burned up. All of a sudden, the king looks into the fire. And how many men, he said, that we throw in? Three. Why do I see a fourth, and he looks like the Son of God? Because when you're going into the fire, and you're going through the fire, Jesus is with you, and you'll never get burned. I don't care how bad it gets. Otherwise, why believe in Jesus Christ? Seriously. If God is not real in our lives, then why believe in something that is not real? Think of all the people today that call themselves atheists. There are no atheists in foxholes, believe me. And it's really important that we understand that. As I, you know, I was coming out this morning before I was going out to the beach and at 4:30 in the morning, and I looked up to the stars, man. Where I live is real dark, and I could see the Little Dipper, the Big Dipper. It was incredible to see, man, the stars. How can somebody say there is no God when you look up to the stars? And they're so perfect. And yet, what does the psalm say? Psalm 53:1 says what? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. All you have to do is be a doctor and look at a cell. And you begin to see, or just look at an ear, and look at down the way an eyeball, man, is made by God is incredible. The human body. And then looking at the universe, the constellations, and then looking at our rivers and our oceans, And look at a snowflake. There's not two alike. Wow. That's incredible. That's a designer that has designed an incredible world that we can enjoy. And I can think of Solomon because Solomon was one of the wisest men that ever lived. He wrote over 3,000 Proverbs and over 1,004 songs he wrote. Imagine that. And yet, look at the life of Solomon now, and then look at his life after he departed from God. He went down the tubes fast. He ended up backsliding because of all the women that he loved. He was a woman lover. He loved strange women. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Sure, I could only keep up with one. Can you imagine having 300 or 700? Boy, talk about a heart attack. It's crazy. And yet Solomon was one of the wisest. And he writes the Proverbs not only to inform his children, because he hasn't backslidden yet, and he's giving the counsel that he got from who? Who was his father? David, the king of Israel. And yet David was not a good disciplinarian father. Remember when Absalom sinned, he never corrected him. Never corrected him. It's really important when you're a parent, there has to be a balance in your life with your children. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, Paul the Apostle, in writing this epistle, he says, and he gives a whole, I think, 12 verses concerning the God's love for his children. And if you're really a father or a mother and you have children, and if your children are not being obedient and they need to be disciplined, but you don't discipline them, he says what? Then you're not a real mother and father. You don't really love your children. But if you really truly love your children, if they do something wrong, what do? You correct them. Because you love them. That's why God corrects you, corrects me. If we get out of whack, he'll correct you. I have gone to hospitals and I visited with people that were on a motorcycle and on the freeway they crashed. And they know why they crashed. Number one, because they were backslidden. Number two, God was speaking to them. They've told me this. And number three, they knew that it was the hand of God to bring them back to himself. The Bible talks about chastening. He do whatever he can to chasten the ones that he loves. That's a true father. That's a true parent. If God doesn't care about you, then he would not be God. And if you are not getting corrected, if you call yourself a Christian and you're not getting corrected by God, maybe you're not really a son or daughter of God. You better check again. Because no true son or daughter of God gets away with sin. No one. No one. It's really important that we understand the Word of God, what it says to us. Because as Solomon writes about this path that we follow through life, the path ends. And then we step into the land where the light ever dims. And in Revelation 22:5, it says this, there shall be no night there. In heaven, there's no more night, only daytime. Only day, only light, no darkness. You know where the darkness is? Forever and ever, in the lake of fire. Where the wicked will go. Where the non-believer will go forever and ever and ever and ever. There'll be gnashing of teeth, the Bible says. And they'll be screaming in pain. And they'll be able to remember in their minds and have all five senses for all eternity. He says, where the worm never dies. The difference between heaven and hell. Those that believe and those that do not believe. You see, what people don't understand is that God has a plan for each one of his children. If we walk in his wisdom, if we walk in his wisdom, then we can confidently say, like David in Psalm 138:8, the Lord will perfect that which concerns my life. I like that. I'll say it again, quote, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me concerning God. God loves me. God cares about you. And God wants to be in control of your life, not you be in control of your life. That's why we submit our lives to Him. We surrender. We raise our hands and say, I surrender, Lord. I give up. I made a mess of my life. Man, I'm going down into hell. I need you in my life, and I need you to help me and straighten my life out. And as you submit to Him, you begin to read, you begin to pray, you become born again of the Holy Spirit, then God begins to take what? Reign in your life as you pray and you read, and He leads you and guides you. He takes you into the valleys. He takes you up the hill, down the hill. He takes you wherever He wants to, and He purifies your life, and He molds you and shapes you into His image. I like that. The way God does it. He's been doing it in my life for 40 years, man. The first 24 years of my life, man, I made hell of my life. But God was gracious enough to save me. And God was gracious enough to save you. It's real important that we understand who He is. Because Solomon came to a place in his life and he writes these Proverbs. It's amazing. The mind that he had and the wisdom that he had in writing these Proverbs. Because we see here that this involves, you know, concerning the path of life, it involves three responsibilities on our part. Number one, knowing God's word. Number two, trusting God's providence. And number three, obeying God's will. That's real important. Okay, number one, knowing God's word. Number two, trusting God's providence. And number three, obeying God's will. Very important. If you don't have those three things, you know, and writing them down and looking at them every single day, then you're going to be able to do what? Not be able to walk with God the way God wants you to walk with Him. Very important. So now as we look at chapter 4 now, as we continue our study here in Proverbs, we come to chapter 4, verses 1 through 9 now. And what we have here now is the beginning as a father speaking to his son again. A father speaking to his son. And what's amazing here is that Solomon is speaking to his son as David, his father, spoke to him. You see, it's from generation to generation. Fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, all the way to great-grandfathers. You know, the spiritual leaders of their homes in teaching, instructing their children. Husband loving their wives, sitting with their wives, giving the word of God to their wives and to their children. And understanding that God is in control of my life by me submitting to Him and to His perfect will. So when Solomon now begins to speak to his child, he starts out in verse 1 and he says, "Now listen, my children. Hear the instruction," notice, "the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." So here Solomon is calling out to his children, to his son. He's calling out in exhortation to them to really pay attention and to listen to what they have to say. Why? Because what he's going to say to them, where did he get this wisdom and knowledge? From the word of God. Not from the secular world. Not from the university. He got it from God's word. The importance of God's word. The world has a lot of knowledge, but not true wisdom. True wisdom comes from God. Knowing God. Knowing His word. Knowing His will. So it's really important what he's trying to teach his son. He says, "A father, and give attention to no understanding." Verse 2, "And for I give you," notice, "good doctrine." Notice what he's saying to him. Notice that here he's teaching him, and the teaching here is reflecting to the time that wisdom will be tested. Wisdom will be tested. Because as we teach our children the word of God, one day they may reject it, they may hate it, they may complain, they may murmur, but one day they're going to come back and say, "Mom, Dad, thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you for wisdom." They haven't really been in the world. They haven't lived long enough to know how hard it is to be in this world. Don't get mad at them. Pray for them. Love them. They'll learn on their own. Believe me, everybody learns on their own. And Solomon here sees that. That maybe my sons, my daughters won't be able to receive this, but I know that one day, I've seen it happen over and over, they come back and they say, thank you. So look at Ryan. That little song in his mind, after all those years in the world, in Sunday school, this is the day that the Lord has made that little song, sitting in Panama City, and God spoke to him through that. That's crazy. No, that's the Lord. God's in control. Or Ryan wouldn't be here today. He wouldn't be here today. And if you have children that are gone out to the world, and they're on drugs, they're on alcohol, and they're doing their own thing out there, don't ever give up, and then you continue to pray for them. You continue to pray for them. God listens. God hears. And God is able to speak to anybody by God's perfect will and to draw them with cords of love. It's incredible what God does. I mean, I didn't grow up in a Christian home and God spoke to me. At a perfect time, my wife wouldn't be here today, my kids would not be here, and I would not be here today if God would have ever intervened at that time. And look at your own testimony, look at your own life. When Christ came into your life, whatever the problem situation might have been. And Solomon, with the wisdom and the knowledge that he has from God, he's trying to teach his children to depend on God's instruction, to depend on God's word. That's real important. The word of God. Not in counselors or psychology. In the word of God. Very important. Look what he says again. Verse 3. Or verse 2, he says again. He says, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. Notice that. Do not forsake my law. What's the law? The Torah. And refers back to the father's teaching, his son, sitting down with your son, opening up the Bible, he's opened up the scroll, the Old Testament scriptures, and he would read to them the word of God. Read the word of God to them. You don't give them an hour Bible study where they get bored and stuff. You know, just be simple with them. Be simple with your children when you teach them. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to them. Don't try to be the Holy Spirit. Don't try to be the Holy Spirit, man. You'll fail. And they'll hate you for it. You have to love them. Even when they trip and fall and make mistakes, you've got to love them all the time. Remember, you're the parent. They're the children. So it's really important that we take counsel as Solomon speaks to our own hearts. So doctrine and the word of God. Verse 3. Notice Solomon speaks about David, his father now. When I was my father's son, now when I was a little kid, he says, my father David, he says, I was tender and the only one in the sight of my mother. Notice that. He's showing the deep love that his mother had for him, Solomon. Who was his mother? Bathsheba. And it's incredible because Bathsheba, remember, was David's not wife at first. He called Bathsheba to come to his room. When he came back from the war, he pulled himself out at the age of 50 years old. He went to his house, the king's home in Jerusalem. He took a shower. They didn't have showers then, but he took a bath or whatever. Got himself cleaned up, put new clothes on. He went out in his palace and started looking out to the city of Jerusalem. And also he's looking out and he looks down. And down at the bottom, on top of the roof, flat roof, there was Bathsheba bathing. And she was beautiful. And David looked once, and he should have never looked again. Once is cool, but not twice. Because then you sin. He went again twice, and then he said, whoa, wow, that's great. Come here, you see that girl down there? Go get her for me. And remember, she came up. He slept with her and then sent her home. What's crazy is he sends her home and thinks everything's going to be cool. He's the king of Israel. And if you read your Bible, and he, at this time, is backslidden. Because he doesn't understand that when you sin against God, he'll write about it later in Psalm 51. He'll write about it that he had grieved the Holy Spirit of God. Because then, 3 months later, what does she do? She writes a letter to him. They come into the court, and he gives the king the letter, opens it up, and says, David, I want you to know that I'm pregnant with your child. Wow. What? According to the law of Moses, for a king or anyone in Israel to get somebody else pregnant and commit adultery while you're already married, it was by stoning to death. Stoning to death. And David, when he received that letter, immediately he started thinking, man, what can I do to cover my sin? Satan came to him and said, listen, it's very easy. Call. Her husband is in your army, remember? He's in your army. He's out in the battle right now. Why don't you write a little note to your cousin, Joab, and tell Joab to let him come home for R&R for a couple days to be with his wife. Joab will come home, he'll sleep with his wife, and then he'll go back to the battle and say, Joab, congratulations, your wife is pregnant, you're going to have a baby. That's what Satan told him to do. He did it. Wrote the letter, sent it out, came home. He had a party for him, never made it home. Second night, there's another party. He doesn't go home because he honors his men outside. They don't go home, he doesn't go home. The next day, after the second day, David finds out. David says, man, what am I going to do? She's pregnant. The devil comes along and says, hey, very easy, David. Write a letter to Joab, your cousin, and say, Joab, take this man and put him in the front lines and have him killed. That's murder. First is adultery, that's murder. He writes a letter, seals it, gives it to him, to Uriah. He goes away to the battle, gives it to Joab. Joab opens it up, puts him in the front lines, has him killed, and then Joab writes back, mission accomplished. And then David says, all right. Calls her, brings it into the house, makes her his wife. Everything's cool. Nobody's going to know about it. She's pregnant. 9 months go by, and the Bible tells us that 9 months go by, and God doesn't speak to David, and David doesn't speak to God. Broken fellowship. And then all of a sudden, 9 months later, she's getting ready to have this baby. The baby borns, and the baby dies. Dies. And David was in there when he dies, and then he gets up and he gets refreshed, and the people looking at him says, your baby just died, what's going on? Hey, he says, my baby's in heaven, that's a done deal already. And what does he do? The prophet Nathan is sent to David, and Nathan comes and says, hey David, O king, he says, there were two houses. One was rich and had parties every time they had an opportunity. And this one next door was poor and a little ewe lamb that he loved like a pet. And the rich man didn't want to kill or pay for anything. So what did he do? He went next door and robbed this little ewe lamb from the neighbor and took it by force and killed it and barbecued it and gave it to his guest. And he said, David, what would you do to such a man? He says, that man deserves to die. He says, you're that man. You took somebody's wife, you committed adultery with her, and then you kill her husband. And at that point, David dropped to his knees and repented. He wrote Psalm 37, Psalm 32, Psalm 51. Incredible story. So imagine how Solomon, the son of David, was the one that was to be born secondly. After that baby died, she got pregnant by David again. And who was born? Solomon. Solomon. And here's Solomon now instructing about a father and a son. It's incredible how the word of God is amazing to me, the way it is written. Watch this again, verse 3. He says, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, Beersheba, He also taught me and said to me, so here is David talking to Solomon. He said to me this, let your heart retain my words and keep my commands and live. He says, Solomon, if you obey God's word and you obey your father and your mother, guess what's going to happen? You shall live. Why? Because in the Ten Commandments, in the seventh commandment, remember what he said? It was about adultery, but he talks about honoring your mother and your father. And in those days, if you disrespected your mother or father, they could take you down to the city gates, to the priest or to the judges, and write a bill, you know, like a little note, accusation against you, and they would take you out of the city gates, outside of the city gate, to the wall, and they would stone you to death. They would kill you. They would kill you. There were no juvenile delinquent halls at that time. None of that stuff. You know? They took care of the situation immediately. No disrespect for parents. Because why? One of the commandments, honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. When a child of age begins to disrespect their parents, they're in dangerous ground. Dangerous ground. And also when a parent disrespects his children. There's so much about children and parents in the Bible. So it's really important what Solomon is saying here. Look at what my dad taught me and said to me. What did he say? Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. And remember in 1 Kings chapter 3, about verse 4, when God came to Solomon when he was very young, right, about this time, and he was going to become the king of Israel. He came to him and said, hey, Solomon, let me ask you a question. He came in a dream and said, Solomon, if you could ask me for anything in the world, what would you want me to give to you? Imagine if you had that kind of a privilege. God says to you, ask me for whatever you want. Porsche 911? Well, that's what people do. $1 million? You know, a trip to the Bahamas? Who knows what people would want, right? You know what he said? All I want you to do is give me knowledge and wisdom to be able to be with your people. You know what God said to him? Solomon, I like you because you didn't ask me for anything of riches. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make you a billionaire. I'm going to give you riches. You're going to be one of the most wealthy persons that's ever lived. Can you imagine that? Read it, 1 Kings chapter 3. Amazing story. And then it's sad because you read 1 Kings chapter 3 and you got to continue the study. And when you come to that place where Solomon now becomes older, and what does he do when he comes into the kingdom? He starts ruling, reigning, and all of a sudden what happens to him? He starts getting involved, first of all, by bringing and marrying strange women that do not love God. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:14? He says, be you not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. What fellowship has light with darkness? That's boyfriend and girlfriend relationships, and that's business deals too. Read it. What has light with darkness? They don't mix. They don't mix. God warned him. And look at all the women he had in his life. And you know what they did? They came from other countries and they came to Jerusalem, and the first thing they did is they went into the house of the Lord and they put up their gods. They put up their gods. They took the heart of Solomon away from his God. How many marriages have you seen like that? Or relationships, boyfriend and girlfriend relationships, where the guy or the girl takes away the guy from the church or from the Lord? Attracted by sex. Attracted by power or money. Pretty heavy stuff. That's why these proverbs are so genuine and so powerful for our lives. That Solomon has experienced it. Here he's a young father talking to his son. He's giving, you know, reference to his father David, which made a lot of mistakes, but yet David was a man after God's own heart. Later on, the Bible says that. And then he says this. Verse 4 again, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Let your heart retain my words and keep my commands and do what? And live. You live. Notice that. The purpose of the commands is for life. And then look what he says. Verse 5, get wisdom, or literally buy wisdom in the Hebrew here. Buy wisdom, notice, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Notice the importance of a father teaching his child and saying, son, daughter, listen to me. It's not my words, it's the words that God has given to me to give to you. The Bible says what? My word will never come back void. Everything we taught Ryan when he was a little kid, even though he backs it for 19 years, guess what? It was in his heart, in his mind. He could never get away from it. And one day it clicked. One day it clicked. That's the Holy Spirit's perfect timing. Don't try to be the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be who he is. All you do is you pray for your children and you pray for your grandbabies. You pray for your nephews. You pray for your nieces. Your children and young people, pray for your parents. Pray for your grandparents. It's really important what Solomon is telling us here, because he's sharing with us the value of wisdom. And then check this out, verse 6. He says, do not forsake her. Who? Wisdom. You could put Christ there too. Do not forsake Christ, and he will preserve you. Wisdom is Christ. Notice that. Love her, or love Christ, and he will keep you. Wisdom, Christ, is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. I mean, this is so amazing the way he does it here. The first step here, notice, is to get wisdom. And the second is to get understanding. I love that. Verse 8, exalt her, or exalt Jesus. Notice, exalt wisdom, and she will promote you. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. It comes where? It comes from the Lord. He takes up one and sets him up. He takes the other one and puts him down. He's the one that does it. He's the one that puts up and puts down. You can promote yourself. You can get to the top. But when you get to the top, he may take you all the way down. You won't stay there. You can only stay there when God puts you there. That's why the world's so messed up. Everything's by power, stepping over everybody and kicking everybody to get to the top. But if you're a Christian and you really believe God, then God knows who you are, what you're doing, and God will be the one to open the door, close the door, put you up or put you down. That's what the Word of God teaches. So Solomon is giving good insights to his children. He's giving good insight to the church tonight too. Verse 8, he says, exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. Notice that wisdom confesses what? Moral beauty to her children. He says, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. She will deliver to you. Christ is wisdom in the Old Testament here. And then in verse 10 through 19, trusting in God's providence, notice what he says here. He says, hear me, my son. He says, as receiving my saying, so hear again. And the years of your life will be how many? Many, many years. Notice that. When you receive God's truth into your heart, then God will renew your mind. Romans chapter 12, 2. That by the renewing of our minds. And then verse 11, I have taught you in the way of who? Wisdom. I have taught you in the way of Christ. Notice that. I have led you in the right paths. Plural. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Isn't that cool? If Christ is for me, who can be against me? If Christ is leading me and guiding me, man, how can I go wrong? How can I go wrong when Christ is the principal thing in my life? Number one, he's the greatest thing in my life. Then he says this. Notice the firmness of the exhortation here. Take firm hold of what? Instruction. Notice what he's saying here. You should mark that. Here he's talking about the importance of God's word to be able to live life in this world. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Christ, notice that, and wisdom. Do not enter the path of the wicked. So here now, he's going to warn. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Why? Because avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. They, the sin, do not sleep unless they have something done evil. Notice that. Their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. The evil person or the evil people never sleep. They're always thinking up of things, how to destroy or kill or rob or steal, whatever doing. He says they're doing it at all time. And then he says this. For they, notice, eat the bread of wickedness. Notice their diet. And they drink the wine of violence. That's their actual diet. Evil. But here's the contrast. The path of the just is like the what? Shining sun. I like that. That shines ever brighter into the perfect day. Isn't that cool? It's like Psalm 138:8. He says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me personally. I like that. So here we see that the way with Christ, the way with wisdom, cannot be compared to the things of the wicked. Never. Darkness, light. The light is greater than the darkness. And if you walk into a dark room, it's very dark. The only thing you have to do is what? Look for the switch, turn on the switch, and what happens to the darkness? It's gone. That's how easy it is. It's gone. When you come to Christ, that's what he does in your life. He turned on the switch. And the darkness is gone, and now the light is before you. You see things differently. You think differently. You respond and act differently when you have the Word of God. And then he said this in verse 19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. They're blind. They don't even know. And then notice how obeying God's will, my son, again he comes back, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Notice what he's saying here. The spiritual, notice inventory. Take a spiritual inventory of your life. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. When you're walking with the Lord, when you're in the presence of God, how can anything go wrong when God, if God is for me, then who can be against me? And if I'm going through the fire, he's with me in the fire. The fire can't touch me because God is with me. And then he says this pretty cool, verses 23 to 27. He's quoting again, like from Romans 12:1, he says this, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Notice this. Now, the heart, I wrote a couple of things on here. The Bible warns about what? Be careful of a double heart. Psalm 12:2. And then be careful of a heady heart or proud heart. Proverbs 8:14. And then be careful of an unbelieving heart. Hebrews 3:12. And then be careful of a cold heart. A very cold heart. Psalm 51:10. But make sure your heart belongs to God. That he's the one that's taking care of your heart. And then he says this, verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth. Don't lie. Don't falsely accuse people. Get rid of it. But perverse lips, notice, far from you. So put perverse lips all the way away from you. That means cynical chatter. It means fashionable grumbles. Or, saying something that is not true, like he talks about here. Making up stories and being truthful in every area. So be careful what comes out of your mouth. Be careful with that. Verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Watch this. And your eyelids look right before you. Notice that. If you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, then what could go wrong? Nothing. God is for me, who can be against me? And then he says this. Ponder the path of your feet. Notice that. The word ponder here means to weigh or to make level. The word reflects, it means to literally come to a place of a snare, or checking out what's before you. He says this, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be what? Established, settled. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Notice what he's saying here. If you're going to walk with God, here's a father talking to son. Son, I'm trying to tell you what path to take, because if you take the wrong path, you're going to be in trouble. God, he said what? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. There's no other life. There's no other path. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life for us tonight. Father, I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ tonight, God. Lord, next week, Father, I pray that you would bring every single person here, every young person, God. Father, for chapter 5, 6, and 7, Father, heavy, heavy chapters. Lord God, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would continue to move in us and to work through our lives mightily and powerfully, Lord God. Father, I pray for your wonderful people, Lord God. And Lord God, we pray for your perfect will even here tonight, Lord God, those watching through the internet. Father, for those that are sitting here in this building tonight, Lord God, just as everyone's praying right now for these people that are visiting with us, some that are here for the first time, second or third, and it's only the Holy Spirit, like we said at the beginning, the only one that can ever bring you to Christ is the Holy Spirit. It's not by being Catholic or being Protestant or Methodist or being Muslim or being Buddhist or anything in religion. The Bible says it's a personal love relationship through Jesus Christ that comes only by repentance. When you repent of your sins and you ask Jesus Christ by faith to come into your heart, he will take his blood and wash away every one of your sins. Cast them as far as to the east or the west. Bury them in the deepest part of the ocean. Never again remember them again. And then he writes your name in the book of life. So if you die today or tomorrow, you'll go to heaven. That's the offer he makes for you tonight. I don't care what you've done in the past. You can start a brand new life tonight with Jesus Christ. If you want to do that tonight, whether you're young, old, I don't care who you are. You could be into homosexuality, lesbianism, you can be a fornicator, an adulterer, a liar, whatever, a sinner. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. That's why we're here tonight. If you want to receive Jesus Christ tonight as your Lord and Savior, I want you to stand to your feet and come up here to the front where I am, and I'm going to pray with you. We're going to worship. You get up and you come as God speaks to you. Come now as God speaks to your hearts. Awesome. Anybody else? Father, we're so thankful because of your loving grace and mercy that you have for us, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much for these people, Lord. Father, I pray for each one of them tonight, Jesus, that you would touch them and anoint them. And those of you that have come forward to receive Christ, I want you to pray with me this prayer out loud. Repeat after me and ask Christ to come into your heart. And those watching through the internet that can do the same, pray with me this prayer out loud. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give us a Bible, some literature, you guys. See that guy right over there? You guys go right over there. Awesome, awesome. That's so cool. Awesome, awesome.